Okay, you're set.
6 o'clock, we'll open a work session. I'm going to start it off with a conference call to Oya Solar regarding a project that they're interested in on Church Road. In the audience, you're plenty of feet apart, so if you're sitting down and you want to take your mask off while you're sitting down, feel free. Just if you get up and walk around, just throw your mask on, just like in a restaurant. Only we don't have any food for you tonight. I might have some old stale crackers in the other room, if anyone's hungry.
We do, I guess that'd be okay too, though.
Try it again. Oh, they sent us the number, right?
Yep.
Well, their clock doesn't work either.
Yeah. Well, they are in Canada.
But they're in Ontario at the same time.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Hi, Glenn. Are you there, Glenn? Hi, this is Al. I've got the comm board here with me. Why don't we go...
Citizens, too.
We have a couple citizens as well and the town clerk. Why don't you go ahead and you can get us started and the board can ask questions after you make your pitch, okay?
Sure. I'm joined by our chief operating officer, TJ Jahani. The topic of discussion tonight is the proposed pilot agreement that's been laid out by the Onondaga County IDA. We've got obviously approval from the county on the proposed pilot amount, positive support from the Baldwin School District, and we're here tonight to discuss the amount and the agreement that remains with the town. We've received a special use permit for the project. So in terms of permitting, we're fairly well advanced, but in parallel, we look to finalize this pilot agreement, which is near the finish line of the project. Have you had a chance to review the agreement or the package
You might have to get up there and facilitate it.
The board's got that, Glenn. The supervisor and I have obviously discussed it. It boils down to the town ends up under the pilot as proposed for the Oya Church Road A site, the town would get $56,373 over the 25-year payment schedule, and on the B site, we would be getting $11,275 under the payment schedule. you know, obviously leaves quite a bit of money on the table from the town's perspective in the based on the $400,000 per megawatt assessment that, that the county is going off of. So obviously that is a little alarming to the town in that we've opted out of the pilot program under Article 487 of New York State Town Law.
New York State Real Property Law.
New York State Real Property Law, Section 487. And I know Bob had mentioned, you know, we're really not, you know, we don't like the idea of leaving money on the table. In that this really isn't, in our view, an economic development project. I mean, there isn't really going to be any true new jobs associated with this. It doesn't bring industry into the community. You guys make money and the landowner makes money and really nobody else gets their full piece of the pie like you were if you were a normal business. So that's you know, kind of where we're at. I know you know, that's not necessarily what you want to hear. You know, the board's willing to listen to other ideas that you may have or other things that you might be able to do to sweeten the pot for the town and the residents to try to make us whole on what the tax revenue would be if you were assessed at the full rate of approximately $400,000 for per megawatt of power production annually.
Sounds good. So is this hi everyone, thank you for joining us tonight. My name is TJ, as Glenn mentioned. I'm the chief operating officer for the company. So I'll start by asking a couple of questions, and I apologize in advance if Glenn, you know the answers to some of these questions, but have you guys been provided, based on the full taxation of $400,000 per megawatt, do you know what that translates into in terms of dollars per megawatt at full taxation for the town?
Actually, I had that on another sheet that I marked up, but I didn't bring it with me, but I can do that math really quick for you.
I know you've done some math. Was that based on $400,000 per megawatt? Do you remember?
Yeah. So the
$400,000 per megawatt, man.
I can't remember what the number was.
Yeah. So though the estimated project value by OSIDA is $2.206 million for site, or that's total project cost. The estimated value for Site B is $541,286, and for Site A it is $2,255,639. So our current tax rate is $1.98 per thousand. That's for town, county, school district combined.
That's everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So our current tax rate of $1.98 per thousand The town, with both projects combined with the Oscioda estimated project value, would be due over 25 years, $138,447.
So what about just the first, let's talk about the first year, if possible. On the first year, just for one project, 5 megawatts, or just say for both projects, for year one, both projects, do you have a number for that I can just?
Sure. I'll give you that.
I have 5,537.
Sounds about right.
So that's for
combined combined.
So 6. So you're looking at roughly $922 per megawatt AC. So if I've got that correct.
Yep.
Yeah. So and. Based on, and how much, and Glenn, again, I apologize, I just, there's a lot of numbers on this spreadsheet, I just want to make sure I've got the numbers correct. What is the per megawatt figure that is being offered under the pilot program?
I believe it's 5,000.
I think that's our number, 5,000, right?
It might say in here, too.
So we're using the Oscioda estimated project value for site 8 is $2.25 million.
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to see like what is the gap between
The difference
and what the pilot is offering.
Because our tax payment without the pilot, our tax payment would be $5,500. You're offering $1,760.
It's currently $5,500 per megawatt.
So the town tax, yes.
So we
came up with a value for the town under full taxation right now of roughly $922 per megawatt. What I'm trying to understand is under the pilot per megawatt, how much are they offering to the town?
Okay. So 1760 divided by 5.
$1,750 divided by 5, $350. So you're looking at the difference of roughly $600 per megawatt.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that's what if what we did, because there are two issues here. One is is the most important issue, as we're discussing tonight, is the monetary value, which I fully understand from your perspective, where you guys are coming from, and my role here is to try to make this all happen and to make sure that you're happy so that we can come back in your town and do more business with you guys. So I can look at the monetary value of this, but the secondary issue here is how do we pay you guys this value? And one of the thoughts that we had is, what if you guys, in the current structure is the IDA as proposed to you, and the difference that we're talking about here, which I believe is about $600 per megawatt, what if we pay that to the town as a host community agreement? What if we enter into a host community agreement? And the reason I'm mentioning this is because in every other jurisdiction that we assign pilots, if the IDA, if all the jurisdictions are not in and the IDA now has to make exemptions and figure out, I'm going to pay this jurisdiction a different rate, which is not in proportion to their tax rate, that creates issues. So what we would rather do is, instead of tweaking the IDA process or asking them for a variance, we calculate what the full taxation is, we calculate what the IDA is paying you guys per megawatt, and whatever the difference is, we'll enter into a host community agreement and we'll pay that money to you guys directly. So so it is like you're getting full taxation, except you've signed up to a pilot agreement, which doesn't change our processes or the IDA's processes, and we just entered into a host community agreement for the next 15 years. How does that sound to you guys?
We're not opposed to that necessarily. So you're offering to pay full taxation value, but you want to do a separate agreement. From our, the supervisor and I met with OSIDA on Tuesday, and they indicated that they would be willing to modify the town payment schedule if it worked for you. So OSIDA, if you're offering to pay the full taxation value to the town, I don't think the town would be opposed to that at our current rate. But I can't speak for the board myself. I mean, how do you gentlemen feel about that?
Can we just back up? I mean, I'm just asking a naive, this is Bob Gerasi, a town board member, coming into this kind of cold. Why are we even entertaining this? Why can't we keep things simple and just treat this as another business? Why are we even entertaining a pilot?
We're not under any.
Sorry, I'm having a really hard time hearing you, sir.
The IDA is giving them a pilot, not us.
I know. Why are we even discussing this? Why can't we just do business like we always do business?
The IDA is looking for the town's support before they grant the pilot.
I'm asking the question about us. I'm not really caring about what the IDA is doing. Why can't we? Why are we even not wasting time? Why are we investing this kind of time to deal with this when it could be just any other business where we would never even entertain a pilot? Why can't we just treat this business like any other business?
You certainly have that ability, Bob.
Well, what's the advantage to us to having this conversation?
Because we don't have control, Bob.
Right.
The IDA can overrule us and grant the pilot as shown right now, and we don't have a say in it. We don't have a stake in the game.
Great.
That's the problem. That's why we're doing this.
That's why we're doing this.
Sir, if I may, I'd just like to point out a few things. So this project, effectively, the project that we're contemplating here, it is all additional revenue for the town, county, and the school board. We're essentially drawing no services, and you know, and we're still the taxes that we're talking about. They're in addition to the existing taxes that are being paid. In addition to the taxes, there's also a benefit if the town residents, or the town itself, or the county or the school district would like to subscribe to the project. They can save up to 10% on their electricity bill as a result of this project being active and up and running. So there's incremental benefits, you know, to everyone. And the reason that us as a developer and a project owner, we need some certainty. We need some something in writing in order for us to go and finance our projects. So this pilot agreement that we're talking about in the host community agreement, it enables us to finance our project, you know. And this is the reason that we've come in front of you guys and are asking to enter into this pilot agreement and not to deviate from the IDA rules. Now, I'm happy to, if there's any questions about the benefit of the project, in addition to the tax payments, I'm happy to send you some information. We would ask that you guys consider this in order for us to be able to finance our project.
Well, that's why we have you on the phone tonight, because Al and I and you know, we sat down and we had a conversation, or we had the phone conversation with you. So we're up to speed on it, and why we're doing this phone conference is so that the rest of the town board members could hear your proposals. And then after we get off the phone, we'll have a discussion on it. And that's the purpose of the meeting, or for the phone call.
Yeah, absolutely. This project is not a large-scale, full-scale type of solar project where it's, you know, a few hundred acres of land being redeveloped into a solar farm. This is something called the Community Solar Project. And I believe just, you know, the way, like, the incentives work is that if both projects are built, there's going to be about $130,000 worth of incentives or savings on the electricity bill that the town residents and the county and the school board, like I mentioned, could take advantage from if they want to subscribe to the solar farm. And this is by no means an obligation. It's, you know, it's more of an option. And essentially, you know, if the town resident and the town does not want to sign up, you know, we could also sell these credits to other parts of the state as long as they're within the same utility territory, which is the National Grid territory. And like I mentioned, there are no services that, you know, we're paying for the electrical system, the substation to be upgraded, and which is all cost of the project. There's absolutely no burden. You know, there's no sewer system, there's no water that we're drawing, there's no additional kids that are going to be enrolled into the school system. We will pay the taxes, the existing taxes, as is. In addition to that, you know, we're going to pay payments in lieu of tax and what we're talking about, the host community agreement. The issue, and like I mentioned, the issue with these projects are because these projects are not viable without a state level incentive. This is all driven through NYSERDA and Governor Cuomo's mandate. Now, because these projects are so marginal from a developer standpoint, you know, we need to enter into these agreements such that when we go and get the project financed, our financiers can look and see what the tax obligations are for the next 15 years. Otherwise, we're not going to get a financing deal. And based on the numbers, now in many jurisdictions, what we're discussing right now does not work because the town taxes are high, and we're not able to bridge the gap. In this case, you know, we've got this project that it is permitted to Glenn's earlier point, and the difference is not that much for us not to be able to bridge the gap. This is why I'm suggesting that we bridge the gap with a host community agreement. And that way, you know, this becomes a project where everyone can benefit.
So you're saying,
but I don't think we need a host community agreement if the OCIDA is willing to adjust their agreement. We can keep it.
This is Jeff Kudrowski. This is a board member. So you're actually selling a subscription model to save electricity, right? So basically, that's what you're doing. So what is your subscription model break even point? And what happens if you don't achieve those goals? Are you just gonna leave?
No. We have all the costs, the asset management, operation and maintenance, debt. There's debt reserve costs, and essentially, what we'll do is we'll sell the subscription at a 10% discount to the credit that the subscribers will be receiving.
And so I sat through one of these pilot things before, and that homeowner actually has to sign up for 10 years or 30 years. It's not a 1-year deal, correct? With your model?
No. We do not make anybody sign up for 10 or 20 or 30 years. We have heard of those stories in the past where, you know, that's more of a commercial deal. For example, if a large industrial plant wants to sign up, you know, then you're looking at a 5-year term or a 10-year term. But especially for residential homeowners, you're talking about signing up and canceling whenever you want. And the reason we're so confident is because this program has had traction for the past, you know, at least 4 or 5 years in the state of New York, and it's been getting revised. But essentially, when you're selling the credits at a 10% discount to the electricity rate, there's no shortage of, you know, the people that want to sign up, you know, for these farms, regardless of where they live in the state. So that's why we're very confident, and our financiers are very confident, and will require nobody to sign up for 5 or 10 years. That's not something that we could ask someone to do.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
So it is a savings, and.
No, go ahead.
And, you know, it's not like it's going to cost anyone anything more. We're very confident we can, even if a subscriber drops out, we'll resubscribe another household or a business, you know, in any county that are part of National Grid's territory, and we'll sell the power, and we can bank the credit. So, and in addition to that, we will be posting the decommission bond with the town. Because this is a 25-year program, and to give the town assurance and the county that, you know, after 25 years we're going to come and decommission this whole system, take all the panels off, get rid of all the racking system and the foundation, we will be posting a bond for that value, which is what we do as a standard across New York. So there's no risk of abandoning, and any developer would be out of their mind to abandon one of these systems and walk away because the value of the asset is just high. So nobody would do that anyway.
So one last question, I'm just curious. Have you done a study on how many sunny days there are in Syracuse?
We've done an energy model. Yes, we do an energy model using an internationally used energy software called PVSys, and this would give us on a monthly basis and on an annual basis, what the energy output would be, and then this energy output goes to an independent engineer that tests it. It's all based on satellite data over the past, 25, 30 years, these are very conservative estimates, the output of the system in reality always ends up being more than what the energy estimates are today, just based on how much the industry has spent.
I don't mean to shut you off, but we got a board meeting that we got to continue on. So I just wanted to make sure, this is Bob Wicks again, I wanted to make sure the other town board members heard directly from you so we can discuss it in private. But we'll be giving you a call sometime next week and let you know what we did. But just to recap, so you're suggesting that you're going to make the town whole on our tax on the assessment on the property, as well as offering a 10% discount to businesses and residents in the town, correct?
Yeah, as a first right of refusal, they don't have an obligation.
Okay, no, I get it.
But they can definitely do
okay.
that.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll get back to you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Well done.
Thanks, everyone.
That was longer than 10 minutes.
No, but that's a smoking deal. If they're willing to pay full assessed value and offer people a 10% discount on the power, we certainly did a lot better than the county and the school is doing it just by taking that phone call.
I just wanted to make sure it wasn't one that I sat on one of those case studies for a couple of years ago that you got to sign up for 10 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And if you move, you're stuck with it.
Yep.
It sounds too good to be true, I wanted to just clarify. So they're willing to pay the post-project assessed values. So they're willing to make us whole all the way.
What we're saying is we're going to accept our current tax rate, $1.98 per thousand, for 25 years.
Okay.
But they're making us whole. That's a lot better than what the IDA is offering us, which is about 25% of our current tax
rate. So if our tax rate changes, they're
still locked in.
To the dollar
to the
$1.98,
right?
But on top of that $1.98, they're offering residents and businesses in the town a 10% reduction in what their power cost would be through National Grid.
Yeah. How long is that 10% reduction going to last for?
25
it should
years.
Last 25 years.
Life of the project. Yeah.
Okay.
And that it would be an incentive to anybody moving into the Radisson Industrial Park. That was one of the things when we talked to the IDA. You know, we also talked about economic development, and when Al and I were talking about this, we thought that would be a good incentive if we want. And there were a couple of things, and we don't have time to talk about it tonight. But that's one of the things that we maybe we could have that could attract other businesses to our area as opposed to other areas of the county.
So why couldn't we make the host agreement whatever our current tax rate is?
Because the point of a pilot, as you heard him say, they need to be able to ensure their investors that they have fixed costs.
How fixed is $1.98? I mean, is Teresa Gold is not here, so what's that going to mean in 15 years? What
it's going to be $1.98.
Right. No, I know it'll be $1.98, but what will it be for everybody else 15 years from now?
Well, it could go up, could go down. I mean, it's probably going to go up some.
But the problem that we have, if you want to call it a problem, is we have no control over it. We opted out of the tax thing in 487. We said we don't want any pilots.
Right.
But the problem is the IDA can still give them a pilot, and that's what they did. But the IDA, recognizing that they're kind of preempting us, are coming to us and saying, we don't want to do this unless we have some support from us. They went to the school district, and evidently the school district supported their pilot agreement. They came to us and, you know, Bob had a conversation with them basically saying, that's nice for everybody else, but what's in it for us? And so they said, well, have a conversation with these guys, which is what we did. And frankly, I think it's, if they're willing to pay us that difference on the community host agreement, we're getting all that we would have gotten anyway.
And then some.
And then some.
So the IDA could overrule us at
yes.
any time.
Yeah. Even though we opted out of it, the IDA has the authority under the state
that's,
law.
That's why we're doing. That's why we're having these conversations.
Well, I guess beggars can't be choosers.
And you know, bottom line is, we can say we don't support it, and the IDA can still give them the pilot.
Of course,
it's only one of the criteria that they use to determine, you know, whether they give it or not is their community support. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But the bottom line is, they have the final control.
And if they were to just say, hey, this, you know, we're going to override Jim, we're going to do it, it's going to be at a substantially less amount. The town would get a substantially less amount than if we negotiate the agreement on our own. And that's why we entered into this. You know, I mean, entertained.
The other day, you know, we want to talk to them, and they said basically, do whatever you can do. That's fine. So I think it's. I was surprised that he's offering the difference.
I think what it comes down to is our tax rate is so low that $600 per megawatt is nothing. $600 per megawatt a year is just.
And if you remember, the last time we had one of these deals was with Mangano, and we had talked as the board, we had talked about saying, you know what, even though we said we opted out, we can still make a deal with them. And they were fine with us because our tax was so much, such a small part. The school district wouldn't do it, and they had to pull out.
Right.
So,
why does the IDA give out pilots to them?
Well, Bob's got a copy of the uniform tax exempt. There's pilots for different things, and there's a separate pilot for solar projects. And there's criteria that he's got it in front of him. I don't remember what it is, but there's different criteria that they
I can use. Give you. I can give everybody a copy.
I'm just curious why
they basically now it's driven by the state.
No.
The state's saying we want solar. We want, you know, renewable energy. So the state's pushing it.
Yep. Got it.
If you want a copy, I can. No? Okay. But that's
thank you.
That's why we had that conversation. Al, Tony, and I sat down with OSIDA, and you know, and they said, hey, try and work the deal out. So we thought it was better to work a deal out for us that I don't know what the school district did.
The school district accepted it. It sounded like the school
they,
district
they accepted it
as proposed
as
by
this.
The IDA.
Yeah.
At least that's what he said. I mean,
we don't have any confirmation of that from the school district. I haven't reached out to Jamie to find out, but when Bob and I talked to Jamie 3 weeks ago, he indicated that
he was going to do it. He was moving towards that.
He was going to support the IDA's payment plan. So,
and he's really the one that, you know, told us, you know, gave us the idea of going in and negotiating the deal. I don't know, you know, I mean, because if they're going to shove it down our throat, let's try to get as much as we can. And that 10%, like you were saying, Al, that 10%, if we opted in on that 10%, 10% of our energy costs could be substantial, right?
Yeah.
Substantial savings to the town.
Well, depends, because we already get a discounted rate below national grid anyway through the contract with Association of Towns. I think we're only paying 2.85 cents per kilowatt hour, which is already, you know, a couple cents lower than what national grid is charging.
But businesses coming in,
yes,
would get that would have
rate.
That ability, yeah, to get that 10% discount.
No, that's
which
good.
So
that's a good deal.
So the question is, you want us to move forward and start working on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point in time, we can write a letter, Bob could write a letter to the IDA saying that, you know, per our conversations with OYA, we would be in favor of the pilot for 25 years at our current tax rate, town tax rate, and all they have to do is adjust the second or the third column on the spreadsheet and then approve it, really. And they, you know, they've indicated that they're not, the applicant has indicated that they're not opposed to that schedule.
And the IDA has nothing to say about our community host agreement.
Yeah.
Well, they said they don't care.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I want to call the school district, see what they did, just to see.
Yeah.
See what they, you know, how they worked it out, because, you know, see what they had to say about it.
Yeah.
Well, do we need to write a letter, or do we need to pass a resolution requesting the town supervisor to write a letter, or can you just do that for our conversation tonight?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that would be more direct.
We're not taking a formal position at this point, I don't think, are we? If you want to, you can adopt a resolution approving the...
No, I wasn't sure.
Until we have an actual document, it's hard to do a resolution.
Yeah, I want to see it.
They're not going to go...
In writing from them.
Yeah.
They're going to make us whole in our taxes.
Well, actually, it would come from OSIDA.
Regardless of the method of payment. I just want to know what
it would... It would actually, that OSIDA would have to update this spreadsheet.
That's what I want to see.
And these guys aren't going back to OSIDA until at least the first meeting in August. First Tuesday in August. Second
Tuesday, and that'll be after our meeting.
Right. Yeah. So we've got the August meeting to say we support.
Right. All right. So I'll move forward, do a little more work on it then. Okay.
I just have one question.
Yep.
What's the current tax value of that property right now?
The current assessed value, their current revenue annually for the whole parcel, the parcel in its entirety, is $2,223.
So under our current tax rate with what they're going to build, what's the difference in revenue compared to now to when it's built to the hospital? You know what I mean? Are we going to get $4,000 a year instead of $2,000?
The total value of the project.
Well, right now we're getting $1.98 per thousand, so we're getting like $4 off of this parcel. We're going to get $5,500 now.
Okay. That's all.
So we're increasing our taxes in this essence.
Yeah, we're increasing our revenue tenfold, more than that. Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like $1,000.
It would never be more than farmland.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great deal
for the town.
For the town.
It's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, it seems to be. I mean,
well, if you like solar farms,
well, we don't have a choice.
So. Well, I mean, from a revenue standpoint, it's a huge one. Pete said it's more than 1,000 times increase in revenue.
Well, and if you know, if property owners want to enter into agreements with businesses, we shouldn't stand in their way. To you know, to a point, certainly there's. There's times that you would, but you know, they should be able to utilize the property as well. But we shouldn't underwrite as a town. The residents shouldn't underwrite the project, and that's what it seemed to be before when we were talking about it. You know, the town residents were going to have to subsidize some of the project, and if we can get out of that, I think that's a good deal for us. Okay.
Good.
All right. Melvin Farms. So, want to see about moving forward with that. You know, I looked at the project, and I know Mr. Raymond, the contractor, wants to get going on it. And you were saying, Pete, the drafts we have now aren't, you know, he didn't put a lot of effort into it, but he wants to get some sort of assurance from us that this is a viable project for him to move forward with it. And if he does, then we'll start getting the more comprehensive plans and things like that. from my perspective, I like the idea of the project. I think that it's, you know, they cut down the number of units that they were going to put in initially, and they're one of the benefits of the project is that, you know, with that pump station, that offers the ability for residents down in that area, along with Amelia Park and Brickwalk, to eventually have the ability. What's that?
Gloria Drive.
Gloria Drive too. Yeah, to put in sewers that they wouldn't normally have had. I mean, how much is that? That pump station.
Pump station in Forest Bay. You're around $2 million.
$2 million. I mean, that's going to be something that the builder's going to provide. I don't know where we would get the money otherwise if we we didn't have somebody.
The sewer district bond costs, so it would be borne by the existing residents,
yeah,
rather than that cost would be borne by the residents rather than the
developer. Well, you know, but let me raise a question or an issue. Is that true? Where are we at with Onondaga County taking over all of the municipal town and village sewer systems?
Actually, if you read that agreement, cost for connection of new residents is still borne by the district, so that debt service cost would still be borne by the town sewer district. If you read that lease agreement.
For new construction or existing construction?
Even for, so if we're constructing a pump station, if a developer isn't paying for it, that cost is still on the residents.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, what if we did nothing? And because you keep citing, Al, that, you know, the DEC is gonna jump down our throats at some point because these septic systems are either they are or they're potentially going to fail and dump sewerage into the Seneca River. But if Onondaga County owns the sewer system, what does that mean?
They're not owning the sewer system. They're leasing it
operation,
from us.
Yeah, operation.
They're leasing operation from us. They're not owning it.
So they're going to fix everything if it breaks. But they're
going to fix anything that's broken. They're going to do long-term capital improvements for maintenance, but they're not going to expand sewer service. And it's only for the residents that have sewer now.
So
they're not going to.
I guess this is a legal question. So your interpretation, Tony, because the conversation I have with you is a little bit different than what I'm hearing tonight, is that even if Onondaga County takes over the responsibility of the sewer system, you know, the however you define it, it's still going to be on the town's shoulders to take care of a problem that DEC cites?
Yeah, it's going to be, if the town expands their sewer, then whatever expansion we do, the county is going to take that over in terms of operation and maintenance going forward. But they're not obligated to expand this our sewer system for our benefit.
Okay, so let's just say this Melvin project did not exist. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to expand any sewer system, right? I mean, we can say we're not expanding anything, right? And let's just move the clock ahead 15 years. And these septic systems fail, and DEC says, this is a problem. Whose responsibility is that? Onondaga County's or the town's?
If they haven't taken over.
No, they've taken it over. They've taken over the existing system today, which doesn't include those houses along the river.
If in the future DEC came along and said, you don't have the capacity to take care of whatever you're doing, I would think that's the town's problem, the district's problem.
We would have to form a district for that capital improvement.
So, Al, if we were looking at a 30-year bond for that district, and it was going to come out of the sewer district, right? For
new sewer district, it would be, yeah.
How much do you think it would be, on average, for these residents if we had a bond for a $2 million pump station?
Well over $1,000 a year.
That's today's money, right?
That's today's money.
Right.
Yeah, that's over $1,000. That's including the wastewater treatment charge from the county. But yes, it would be.
So $1,500.
Anywhere. Yeah. I mean, look at where we're at with Whispering Oaks. That was a $1.5 million project, and those folks pay about $900 a year.
So
we know with this sewer, bottom line is, the county is going to have to raise the wastewater treatment charge once these leases are in effect. right now the county's getting a significant source of revenue from the sewer districts for maintenance that is going to go away once they lease it. So you know that the treatment charge is going to have to go up for the county to balance their budget for what? That's just the bottom line. So in addition to the debt service, they're going to pay the higher treatment charge that the county's going to charge because they're losing the, I mean, right now we pay about a half, I think that last bill was 400,000, right, Bob? 400, last bill that the county I reviewed for 2018 was
it was up
$440,000,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it was high.
But that's only one town. There's 19 towns that have sewers. So they're, the county's losing over $400,000 in revenue from us for maintaining our sewers once they sign this lease. They got to fill that hole in their budget somehow.
But just
and it's
going to
be an additional treatment charge.
Okay. I'm sorry, but the only issue here is you keep citing that these particular septic systems are going to fail because they're on the river.
We've already been through this, Bob. We've already been through this in the West Phoenix neighborhood about 20 years ago.
Okay.
DEC came in and said, yeah, these septic systems are failing. You're polluting the river. They slapped us with a consent order. We had to build sewers and a pump station, and we pump the wastewater from the West Phoenix neighborhood into the village of Phoenix. We've already been through this. This isn't new territory for the town. I'll tell you right now, you go down into Red Rock on a hot day when it's been dry, and there's odors in the ditches. Those odors are from leach fields that aren't functioning as they should. And those ditches go straight to the river.
Well, not only that. I mean, there's, like with Amelia Park, their septic systems are coming to the end of their life cycle.
They're all mounds.
So what we're going to do, I mean, what we could do by doing this is instead of them having to put in new septic systems, they'd be able to hook up to the sewer systems, which is what the residents in that area been asking for.
They've been
30 years ago. I had one resident say, we've been promised this for 30 years. Okay, well, we might be able to help you out with this. So it's, that's something that the residents in those areas want as well. Also, Palmer School. Palmer School would be able to, they're on a septic, I didn't know this, but that's a pretty big school. They're on a septic system. I don't know, what it would cost to put a new septic system out there, but they would be able to, if this was to come to fruition, they'd be able to have the ability to hook up to sewer systems as well. So there's a lot of benefits that go along with them also providing the $2 million in infrastructure.
And why could not the argument be made that if you have a septic system that's failing, whether you live on Plainville Road, Dinklehole Road, or wherever you live, fix it. It's your problem.
Well, yeah, you could make that argument, okay. but if we have the opportunity to provide and people out in Dinglehole Road and Plainville, they want sewers out there. So if we had the opportunity to be able to have a contractor, if a contractor was willing to put the infrastructure in where they could get sewers there, I think we should do that as well. And that's what we're able to do here, because that's what people have said they wanted. Why would, I mean, if we can get that done at no cost to us, why wouldn't we want to do that?
Why are we hung up on sewers, though? I mean, this is a good project in whole. We're adding more revenue to our tax base, right? Which is always a good thing. We're building out the community. Last I knew, Lysander was only 20% built out, right? People want to live here in Baldwinsville. How else are they going to live here? Buy houses? Why not build a house, right?
Well, there is an argument that maybe you don't want all that land covered with houses. I mean, you may want that land covered with houses, but there may be people who don't want it covered with houses.
Well, then they can voice their opinion, though.
And that brings it. Yeah, but Bob can voice his opinion, too, and that's what he's doing. So what makes it a good discussion is the fact that the reason we're talking about the sewers is because we want to distinguish the benefits versus the downside. If the downside is overdevelopment and traffic,
there's going to be no traffic.
I'm sure there is.
There,
and the upside is...
You know what? There's not going to be any traffic. I'm going to tell you why. I went down 370 today during rush hour, 7:30 in the morning. Guess how many cars were in front of me? Three. I came by and looped again, getting on from John Glenn to 370, and this is with the construction that's not even there. Guess how many cars I saw at the 370 turn on to John Glenn?
One.
What time was it? 7:30 and 8 o'clock.
So
that's rush hour traffic.
Four four back all the way to
you would have been. However, you are not today.
I live there.
But they're also building additional turn lanes, right?
Yeah,
but the traffic,
more
excuse me,
Gene,
but the traffic is not a traffic jam. It's called traffic.
So
there's traffic out there.
So
right.
So what my point is, and obviously there is a concern with traffic, but my point isn't the traffic or not. It's the point that there are a variety of opinions, and that's why we have to talk about the project, because we do need to know the benefits. That's the sewers.
Yes.
That's
so
the benefits that will offset.
Don't you want to increase the tax revenue here? Increase the growth? Oh, no. So you want to have all future, you want to have no housing here anymore, stop construction, and the current residents, taxes keep going up because the current town board doesn't want additional growth.
I'm not.
It's his property. He can put whatever he wants on it. Wasn't that what was said before?
Hold on. So the developer
right.
has the right
but again,
to
I still don't get to finish
but
right.
But in order to be using incentive zoning, we have
and
to.
And it's incentive zoning too, right? So we get that money from incentive zoning. What is it, $190,000 on top of the additional $2 million we need for sewers?
And the developer has to convince the board it's a good idea.
Right, which is where the discussion comes
right.
in, which is where you discuss the possible benefits and the possible downsides.
I don't see any downsides to it.
Well, some people do, and that's why we have to hold a discussion.
Yeah, public discussion as well, too.
Yeah. So, Al, what I was going to say before all that was, so as you know, I own a piece of property on the water. The DEC came in and said my septic was failing. Would I then go to the town of Ellisburg and say, I need sewers? What is the criteria?
So what happens is that DEC goes in front of a judge and asks the judge for a consent order for a neighborhood in its entirety.
Okay. Well, entire road or whatever.
Entire road or neighborhood. Okay. And they have, under environmental conservation law, they have the authority to do that.
Okay.
Called Red Rock for a reason. The neighborhood is dense clay soils that are not suitable for septic systems necessarily. Those houses have been constructed at a density that is, that area is zoned R.
I get the idea though, Al. So then we form a sewer district and we take out a bond and we do the work that's got to be done.
That area is owned R20.
And it's expensive for the
yes.
few people who are down there in that district paying for that.
Correct.
I got it.
Correct.
You can give me the Cliff Note version anytime on it.
I mean, I think that, you know, that's a possibility, but when I'm looking at it, I mean, I'm not looking at it from that. I try to sit down and see what's the benefits to us. And what's the drawbacks? And like you said, I mean, yeah, are you going to have some more a level of traffic? Sure. Are you going to have more density? Sure. But do the benefits outweigh the negatives on the thing? And to me, I think there's a lot of benefits with this because of the sewers that people want. But also, if we don't have some sort of development. And we say we stay with the same number of houses that we have today. Those same 100 houses are going to continue to pay higher and higher taxes. And that was one of the things that, people, not just here, in every town, we don't want to pay higher taxes. And, taxes are, I have an article right here. I'll bust out later, but they were talking about the tax rate's going to go up. You know, everybody's going to be raising taxes, so if we can spread that out with more people, that's a benefit as well that I think that we need to consider, because we're going to have some growth in order to keep our taxes down. Otherwise, we won't be the lowest tax rate in the county after a while.
But that's a big discussion, Bob, and one of the things we talked about when we first talked about this at the last town board meeting, I was told that the, except for the cul-de-sacs, this entire project, the road would be privately owned. When we got on the phone with them at the Zoom meeting, we were told that the main road would actually be a town road. So that's a different piece of information than what I was first told.
They requested that the main road be a town road.
Okay, so then that's an unfinished piece of business that we haven't decided upon.
Well, exactly. They requested it. That doesn't mean we have to accept dedication of it. That's something that they requested, and we'll have to see how the fire company feels about that as well, because that's a...
I can't imagine us not owning that road out because of fire and emergency access and school bus access. I think we're fooling ourselves to think that entire community can be privately owned.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. One half mile road with 226 units on it is a whole hell of a lot better than the 4.5 miles of road we are going to get with 478 units on it.
I don't dispute that from a
cost benefit standpoint.
I guess what I'm trying to imagine is a town board 20 years from now dealing with not Jerry Hole because he's long retired, and we're trying to find money. Trying to find money to fix the roads, and we keep scratching our heads. Jerry, we can't give you all that money, but town board, I need that money. And I guess what I'm trying to convey here is that whatever project we accept, it ought to be black and white on a piece of paper that says this project will pay for itself forever. And not only that, is there a way of setting aside that money? Maybe not creating a highway district, but at least binding the town board in the future that said, no, that money's for when we have to repair that road 15 years from now.
To be perfectly honest with you, Bob, anybody that lives in a subdivision of this town is subsidizing the maintenance on our western roads where you live.
Okay.
Period. I mean, just from a cost perspective, from a snow removal cost perspective, from a road maintenance perspective, these subdivisions, as long as they're less than 1 acre lots, are quite frankly, subsidizing road maintenance in our rural agricultural zones.
It would be nice to see that on paper. I mean, that's what you did, Al. You did that
there's examples of it that I've given you in the past, and I'd be happy to bring it up again. We can
do that.
Okay.
And this, and when we were, and we've been talking about it quite a bit, and because I know you, Mr. Raymond's been doing this for 20 years, so we were trying to bring something that's workable, you know, for both the town and for the developer. But when we were talking about it, that density of buildings on that half a mile road will more than pay for that road maintenance in perpetuity.
Road maintenance in our agricultural zones.
Yeah. I mean that, and we can put it together, but
so
the biggest
another benefit.
What's that? Oh. But I mean the biggest thing with this is how many times has Mr. Raymond been before the board? A couple of times anyway, right?
1, 2, 3, this is his fourth time.
Fourth time. So I can understand his trepidation with not wanting to put a lot of money and effort into it, but if we, from my perspective, and I'm only stating for myself now, you know, I looked at it and I've been looking at it hard, and one of the first things I said to him was, you know, while I'm here, you know, anything that I put my thumbprint on, I want to be a quality project. And he brought this project up, and after looking at it, I think it would be. So now, you know, if that's something that the board thinks it would be, let's tell them. But I mean, I know what your concern is about the roads. We'll have them discuss that, and you know, we'll make sure we meet.
I thought the last time we met, we said we were going to tell them to start putting things together, right? Didn't we?
I agree. Yeah, I thought so as well too.
But I think there were some other. There's some other issues that came up. Yeah,
well, the changing from the road from private to town-owned makes a difference to me, too.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the
private road. Last time it was 8 miles of the road.
Well, we can come up. We can get the numbers
yeah,
for that.
With the cul-de-sac, something like that. Yeah, it's not.
And don't forget the two other things. As the, and we got in the Zoom meeting, we threw I threw out the one of the projects had a 1,000 foot setback, not 500. So he did direct his teammate there to investigate that. And I don't want to give up on losing that right of way or whatever you want to call it for a trail along the river. Because once that land is developed and no longer owned or has something on it,
if he's not developing that, I don't think a right of way. From talking to him, I don't think a right of way for a trail is going to be a problem. I don't think so. I just don't want to forget it. You know, we won't forget it. But I mean, there's give and takes with this as well. You know, the guy's got to be able to, as a businessman, he's got to be able to make some money on it as well. And I think, you know, if you're talking about a right of way to put a trail in, you're talking about $2,000 worth of infrastructure. You're talking about a quality project that's going to increase our tax income without putting severe pressure on our roads and our schools from the way that he's going to market those. I think it's a win for the town.
I would again keep track of that. Someone said something about it's only 0.8 miles, but of road to adopt. But I know we've got Jerry here. We had Gene over there, and 0.8 miles of road would be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and all of a sudden we're going to need, you know, at some point there's going to be a road where all of a sudden we need another route, we need another truck, we need another person. There is that, and I know because I've sat in a lot of meetings with you two where you probably think we're already at that point.
You're behind it.
Yes. So that's where 0.8 miles of road does make a difference. It does make a difference.
Well, think of all the tax money you're going to be getting from these.
Well, when I saw the project,
our current highway tax is $1.24 per thousand. Mr. Raymond indicated he thought this project would cost $35 million to build. That would be $43,000 a year in highway tax from one project. I would hope that $43,000 annually would be more than enough to maintain 8/10 of a mile. What do you think, Jerry? $43,000 a year, that ought to cover 8/10 of a mile.
To pave a mile, mill it and fill it's about $80,000 to $90,000.
This is annually.
That's talking. Annually.
Right.
And you're gonna have to do that every
20 years.
Yeah,
well,
that's 20. Every 10 to 15.
You say 20, but we end up doing roads a lot more than
that. Right, but
my point is simply,
yeah.
when we first saw the project,
we've already built
that road was private. And then it changed somewhere down
the
road. So there's going to have to be further discussion. But that all comes in to the
if the numbers come out where it can do what you're concerned about, cover the cost, and I agree with you, it should cover the cost. If it isn't covering the cost, it's not a viable plan, in my opinion. You know, other people shouldn't be underwriting these contractors' projects. And
that $35 million is only the apartment portion of it, not including the solar portion of it.
Right.
So
there's an additional component. Right. And we don't have the numbers on it, but
yeah, we don't know how many megawatts that is at this point in time to be able to say what that potential revenue could be.
But again, I believe that's at our last meeting voted to go ahead and
okay. Well, there were a couple I forget why we did it, but there were a couple of questions
we're discussing this now yeah. because we have this local law to set up a public hearing for this
right.
local law
okay.
on this agenda, so that's why this is on the work session agenda.
Okay.
So that's why we're discussing this again, is because of this draft local law that's in front of us this evening. I know we're about to start. I still have not gotten the authorization from DOT to advertise for the Willow Culvert project. I would like to ask the board to table D for now until I get that confirmation from them.
And table D, you said?
Yes.
And we're not going to have time to discuss the spray park, so what's the protocol, Tony or Bob? Can I add a resolution to open the spray park and we'll discuss it as part of after that?
It's part of the town business.
So I'd like to add an agenda item to open the spray park, and that'll be because we don't have time during the work session to discuss it. So we'll discuss it.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that motion K is 1180, not 1190, is minimum wage.
11 what?
1180 is minimum wage.
All right, I'll just amend that. Okay. So, what's that?
1180 minimum wage.
All right. So we'll close the work session.